Thank God for your presence. We started a series here a few weeks ago called Getting to Know the Godhead. And tonight we want to note God is omniscient. The Bible declares God to be wise. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, according to Job 9:4. With him is wisdom and strength. His counsel is understanding, Job 12:13. He is mighty in strength and wisdom, Job 36:5. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, Daniel 2:20. When you try to define wisdom, many have defined wisdom in various ways. Some believe that wisdom is based on one's intelligence. If I'm intelligent, then I am wise. Some may believe himself to be wise because of his cleverness or his cunningness. But in Scripture, wisdom is moral as well as intelligent. It is more than being clever or more than being cunning. To be truly wise in a biblical sense, one's intelligence and his cleverness must be aimed at the right end. So we may define wisdom this way: the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goals together with the surest means of attaining it. Wisdom then, in fact, is the practical side of moral goodness. So the person who can take that moral goodness and put it into practice, aiming at the highest end, is a wise individual indeed. And no one embodies this better or more perfectly than the Godhead. God is a perfect embodiment of what the Bible defines as wisdom. It finds its complete fullness only in the God of heaven. So omniscience, governing omnipotence, that is infinite power ruled by infinite wisdom. You notice that God's omniscience and his omnipotence is allied together in many of these texts. So we have someone with unlimited knowledge governing unlimited power. Omniscience, according to Webster, is all-knowing, having infinite knowledge, knowing all things. In Psalm 147:5, the psalmist says, great is our Lord and of great power, his understanding is infinite. The Bible reveals that God knows everything. That God knows all. When you think about it, look at these particular passages that proves that, or write them down, if you will. The Bible teaches that God knows what's going on in the universe. Job 28:24. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven. God knows what's going on in the universe. But he also knows the stars of heaven, according to Psalm 147:4. He telleth the number of the stars. When you think about it, with all the stars, God can name them, but he also knows the number of them. The Bible says he calleth them by their names. Isaiah 40:28. Isaiah says there is no searching of his understanding. He knows what's going on in the world. According to 2 Chronicles 16:9. Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro and throughout the whole earth. He knows what's going on in the nations. Psalm 66:7. He ruled by his power forever. His eyes behold the nation. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. The Bible teaches that God knows all. He knows what's going on in the universe. He knows what's going on under heaven. He knows what's going on in the world. He knows what's going on in the nations. He knows what's going on with every individual. The Bible even reveals that God knows what's going on in the spirit world. In Job 26:6, hell is naked before him and destruction hath no covering. You know, though some may be buried away in a grave and out of sight of man, yet they are under the watchful eye of God. Even those who may be in the place of the damned are before the eyes of the Lord. There is no escaping God's presence or his ability to know and to see what's going on with man. in Proverbs 15 and verse number 11. The Bible says, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? Since God can see the dead in their graves, then it only stands to reason that he can see the hearts of the living. Earlier, he stated in chapter 15 and verse number 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Even Jesus discusses what happens. If we didn't have the account of Jesus in Luke chapter 16, you and I would have no idea what goes on in the spirit world, except the Lord revealed it in the occasion of Luke 16, 19 through 31 with Lazarus and the rich man. And so God knows what's going on in the Hadean realm as well. The Bible reveals that God not only knows all of these things, but he also knows what's going on in the hearts of men. Proverbs or Psalm chapter 44 and verse number 21. The Bible says, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Look with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 20 and verse number 6. All those other passages were for those who were taking notes. Now we'll let you read a few. Genesis chapter 20. And notice verse number 6. What we're coming to understand is that God knows what is going on in the hearts of man. Genesis 20 and verse number 6, the occasion of Abimelech when he took Sarah. How does it read?
And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her.
Now, we want to note that God knows what is going on in the hearts of men. In this particular situation, Abimelech having taken Sarah because Abraham said that it was his sister. Abraham recognizing that Sarah was a very beautiful woman and knowing it was customary for those kings to go and take her and give you something in exchange or kill you if you don't want to cooperate. He said they would surely kill me for you. And based on that, Abimelech did take Sarah. But God came to him in a dream, and Abimelech pleaded his case before God and says, I didn't know. The man said it was his sister. So in the integrity of my heart, I did this thing. Now, I want you to see how God knows then the very integrity of the heart. God looks on the heart of man. Notice it with me as we connect a passage. 1 John chapter 3. And notice verse number 20 and verse number 21. We'll put these two passages together to help you to appreciate how God knows the heart. For if our heart condemn us,
God is greater than our heart.
God is greater than our heart and does what?
And knoweth all things.
Beloved?
Beloved, if our heart condemn us not,
then
have we confidence toward God.
Now when the heart, and actually this word heart, literally it really means the conscience. So when the heart or the conscience calls us to court, it calls us to court either to approve us or disapprove us of our actions. Now, once the heart or the conscience calls us to court, it will either approve or it will disapprove. But the Bible is saying that God is a greater witness than even your conscience. Because sometimes our conscience can call us into court and condemn us when we have not been condemned by God. And thankfully, God there is a greater witness and knows all things. But there are times when the heart can call you to conscience and you might be trying to prove your actions, but the conscience actually is condemning you. My friends, if that is the occasion, it's very difficult to have confidence before God when you know your very conscience is condemning you and God is a greater witness than your conscience. Now, if I connect this with Genesis chapter 20, this man is saying to God, in the integrity of my heart. So when his conscience called him to court, he is saying that I'm in agreement with my conscience. I did this in the integrity of my heart. And you know what? God, who is a greater witness than his own conscience, agreed. Look at what God says again in Genesis chapter 20 and verse number 6.
And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart.
Now, his conscience witnessed to his integrity. God, being greater than his conscience, who could read his heart, also witnessed to his integrity. And then God then said, I know that's why you did it. See, it's one thing to say, oh, I did it for this reason. I did it for that reason. That might work for you and I. We might be able to convince someone I did it for this reason, even if we did not. And our conscience might approve us depending on how the conscience has been trained. But there is a greater witness than your conscience that can bear out the truth. Abimelech better be very happy that he was telling the truth as his conscience witnessed for him that he did do this in the integrity of his heart. And because of that, God, who read his heart, says, I know it. I know that you did it in the integrity of your heart. And because I know it, because I'm a greater witness than your conscience, and your conscience has not only agreed with you, but now I can agree with you because I have searched your heart and found that you are telling the truth. And as a result of that, I prevented you from sinning against me. And you know what? Because that man agreed with his conscience and God looked in, it worked out for his good. My friends, it's good when you can be right with your conscience, because there is a greater witness than your conscience who can read the hearts of men and know what's there. 1 Samuel 16, verse number 6 and 7. When looking for a king among the sons of Jesse, Samuel was sure when he saw Eliab that the Lord's anointed was before him. And then we get that famous verse, verse number 7, that tells us something about God. How does it read?
But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance.
Look not on his countenance.
Or on the height of his stature.
Uh-huh.
Because I have refused him.
Uh-huh.
For the Lord sees not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance.
Man looketh on the outward appearance, but what does God look?
Having searched the hearts of men, God found David.
Acts 13 and verse number 22, to whom he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who shall fulfill all my will. My friend, God is a reader of the hearts. In 1 Chronicles 28 and verse number 9, David would admonish Solomon to serve God with a perfect and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches hearts and understand the imagination of the thoughts, is what David was telling Solomon as Solomon was getting ready to take over as king. He told him, you make sure you serve God correctly. Serve God with all your heart, because God is reading your hearts. And not only that, he knows all the imaginations of your thoughts. My friends, that's something, isn't it? David certainly came to understand that, and he told that to Solomon. Look at Psalm 94 and notice verse number 9 through verse number 11. Psalm 94, we begin at verse number 9, Brother Craig.
He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see?
Shall we foolishly conclude that God, who made us with eyes to see and ears to hear, does not embody both perfectly? Certainly he does. We should conclude that if he made us to see and hear, that he is infinitely greater in both his ability to see and to hear. Now, my friends, that means God can see everything, and that God hears everything. He knows everything. It'd be foolish to think that God made you, gave you eyes and gave you ears, and yet he does not see you and he does not hear. Keep reading verse number 10.
He that chaseth the heart, chaseth the heathen, shall not he correct?
Now, wait a minute. If God chastened the heathen, shall he not chasten his own people who know better than the heathen? Certainly he will. If God gives us a law, shall he not judge us according to that law? Shall he not bring man into account for the violation of that law? Shall he not chasten? Certainly he will. Keep reading.
He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity.
If God has given man his revelation and taught him true wisdom, shall he not know? In Job 28:28, Job says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from all evil is understanding. Shall God not know wisdom when he gave us wisdom? Shall God not know if man will follow his wisdom? Shall God not know the thoughts of man's heart? Proverbs 24, notice verse number 11 and verse number 12. Even when man tries to make excuses, You know, you can tell me, you ever had a situation where you call someone into account for something and they say, well, I didn't know, I didn't know. And sometimes when folk are doing something wrong, they say, I didn't know, I didn't know. You know what? You can't do that with God. You may fool us with that, or you may fool someone with that, and you can simply claim ignorance, but you can't claim ignorance with God. Let me tell you something. When you say you didn't know, God knows if you knew or not. Notice what he says in Proverbs chapter 24. Look at verse number 11 and 12.
And those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, does not he that pondereth the heart consider it?
Listen.
He that keepeth the soul.
This reveals that when people attempt to excuse themselves, claiming ignorance of those who may be treated unfairly or unjustly. See, this is about injustice. And there were folks who recognized that people were being treated in an unjust or unjust way, and they failed to do anything about it. They failed to plead the cause of those who were innocent. As a result of this, they are actually trying to claim that they were not aware of it. But he says, shall not God ponder it? You claim ignorance, you believe, you pretend like you didn't know, but God knows that you did know. And what you have done is you have failed in your responsibility to do something about the situation. My friends, there's a lot of folks that like to turn a blind eye to some things and pretend like they don't see them. Sometimes there are things going on in the Lord's congregations, in his church, and people pretend they don't know. Sometimes when it's time for us to stand up and be accountable for what is right and to do something about it, to see things are going wrong way and all these kind of things, some of us just sit there and put our heads down and pretend we don't know what's going on. But let me tell you something. God knows that you know. And he also knows that you should have done something about it and you did nothing. So when you consider James chapter 4 and verse number 17, here is the sin of omission. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, the Bible says to him it is sin. My friend, the Bible teaches that God knows everything. He knows our every need. In Matthew 6:8, Jesus says, your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of even before you ask him. He still wants you to ask, but he knows. He knows our desires, according to Psalm 38 and verse number 9. Lord, all my desires is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. He knows. It is evident that our God has complete knowledge of every aspect of his creation, including mankind, including the hearts of mankind. But don't you wonder, how does he know? How does God know? How does he know everything? That's an alarming thing to think about all that God knows and wonder how you know. How could you explain what God knows? How do you explain God doing everything at one time? That's a mind-boggling thing, isn't it? Well, some folks have attempted to do it. So I researched it and I'll share with you some propositions to explain the omniscience of God. First of all, God knows by his essence. That is, because God is the originator and the cause of all things, he cannot be ignorant of what he causes. Good enough. Therefore, he knows all things, not by understanding those particular things, but by understanding himself. They are created and caused from his very essence. God knows by intuition. God does not know by deduction, by reasoning, or implication, but knows all things at once. God knows all things before they exist and is never ignorant of anything. Notice what the Bible says in Acts chapter 15, and notice verse number 18. Notice this. Known unto God what?
Are all his works
from the beginning of the world. God not only does what he determines, but he determines what he does. Since God knows all by intuition, he also does not know successively. You know, sometimes we gain knowledge by a series of events or a succession of things. You know, one thing happened, another thing happened, which creates another thing and another thing, and then we have the ability to look at all those things and then we come to understand it. Well, God can't gain his knowledge that way. Amen. He cannot know by succession. He does know all at once. He does not know one thing before another. He knows all things intuitively without succession of knowledge. God cannot gain his knowledge by one event after another that leads him to understand how that all works. He knows it from the beginning to the end. He knows by intuition without any reasoning on his behalf. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes you have intuition, which means you don't reason it. It's just there. Well, imagine God being perfect in that type of knowledge. God knows all things independently. He does not require a teacher. He does not require a counselor or a mentor. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. And notice verse number 13 and verse number 14.
Who hath directed the spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor hath taught him. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him?
Who instructed God? Who gave God counsel? Who was there when God decided to make the world? Didn't he ask Job that? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who was giving God suggestions? Who decided, God, no, don't do it that way, do it this way? Who was his counselor? Who gave him advice? Who advice could he seek? He knows all things independently. He has no counselor. He has no advisor. He has no one that can instruct him. Who gives God any kind of knowledge as to how he will continue to govern the world? Can the creature instruct the creator? Can the finite counsel the infinite? God knows all things independently. There is nothing else by which God can gain knowledge. Not only does he know all things independently, God knows all things distinctly. It can be said of mankind, as Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, that sometimes we see through a dark glass, or we see through a glass dimly, if you will. And then sometimes things are brought to greater light as time goes on, or there's more manifestations of a particular thing. We come to know that better or to a greater degree. God cannot gain his knowledge that way. But God sees all things clearly, distinctly, and perfectly. Notice Psalm 139 and notice verse number 12.
Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. But the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee.
My friend, God knows all things infallibly, immutably, and perpetually. He knows all things with knowledge free from defect. He does not forget, and he cannot gain new knowledge. Isn't that something? When you just think about that, you know God can't learn anything. He can't learn anything new. He knows all things already perfectly. His power and knowledge is co-eternal with him. As long as God is, so is his power. So is his knowledge. All times, past, present, and future are embraced in his understanding. And the Bible claims that he has fixed all things in their season, that nothing new can come to him or nothing old can pass from him. God never forgets. He cannot forget. He cannot learn. He cannot gain any knowledge. Nothing can be hid from him. God is perfectly omniscient, the God that knows everything. He knows then what is best for his creation. He made us. He knows what is best for your life. He can direct you. I believe because we recognize that we serve an omniscient God, that ought to cause people to want to follow his direction. So why should man seek out God's word and follow him for the direction of their lives? He knows how to save man. God has willingly gave the greatest sacrifice that could be given a perfect sacrifice in Jesus Christ in order to save mankind. And you know, it's near blasphemous when man would think or look at Jesus, his blood, and his sacrifice, as the Hebrew writer would say, as an unholy thing when you think about the omniscience of God that put it together to send Jesus. And yet Jesus came, a perfect sacrifice. And if he is a completely perfect sacrifice to satisfy the Father, then, my friends, that means that when we partake of that sacrifice in obedience to God's will, then we will have a perfect salvation. The omniscient God that knows all things knows exactly how to save man. And this omniscient God will save you. He'll not only save you, he'll save all mankind. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he should by the grace of God taste death for every man. He wants all being saved, and he sent Jesus to save all. And the God who sees all, my friends, knows exactly what man needs. This very night, you can have that God for your God. You know, it's a wonderful comfort to know that we have a God that knows all things, that can't learn anything new. That means that he revealed unto us a perfect will. So that if we follow this, my friends, it will not change. It cannot change. God cannot go against himself. So what he has written, it'll stand forever. It's the truth. You can bank on it. And if he says you can come to his son and be saved, my friends, that's true. You can believe in his son. You can repent of your sins, confess his name, and you can be buried with him in baptism. You can be faithful unto death, and it's assured that that omniscient God will give you a crown of life. If God knows all things, and he knows exactly what it takes to make man happy. So I believe if we want to be happy, we don't need to look anywhere else but the Word of God. And if God is going to know what makes us happy, then certainly Jesus has prepared a place for us. And if he has prepared a place, and he's been preparing it for some 2,000 years, my friends, it's got to be exactly what man needs to fulfill every part of his desire. If you need to obey the gospel, we invite you to come. And if you want to make things right with God, if you have fallen back, then you can come and make the request known to the church. We'll pray for you that God might assist you in whatever needs you may have. As we stand and as we sing the invitation song.
Living below in this old sinful world.